is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. That's my scripture reading today from 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning with verse 22 and reading through verse 25 and the end of that chapter. I want to speak to you today, and I want you to consider with me each word of the title that I want to use for the message today, and that being the necessity of the new birth experience. The necessity of the new birth, and not only that, but the new birth experience. You see, I believe that people that have been saved, truly saved, they possess experimental knowledge of the Lord. And so I want to speak about the necessity of the new birth experience. The Apostle Peter here in this first chapter, in the verses that I have read in verse 23, he said, being born again. Now you really, we don't see the term born again that many times in the Bible. We read in some places about being born again. The Bible says a lot of times about being saved. It talks about being redeemed. And though they all have distinct meanings, they're all also synonymous terms with each other, being born again, being saved, being redeemed. The Apostle Peter said here that being born again, not of corruptible seed. Now, every one of us here today has been born of corruptible seed. The Apostle Peter, in his writing about being born again, he said being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And he wasn't there when he said by the word of God, he wasn't talking about being saved by the Bible. He was speaking about being saved through the instrumentality of the word of God, as the Bible says, begotten of the truth. And so he said that this born again experience doesn't come by corruptible seed. If you look back just a little bit, back to the 18th verse of that same chapter, he said, for as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, you know, we all have purchased things in this life, and we've purchased them with corruptible things, but you can't take money and buy the gift of God. It just cannot be done. We were not redeemed with corruptible things. And he goes on and specifically mentions some of those things. You were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Some people in the world believe that if you've got enough money that you can buy anything. Well, that may be true with material things, but you cannot buy salvation. The price that was necessary to be paid in order for us to have it has been paid. The Lord paid that ransom for our sins when He gave His life on Calvary, and it's a free gift to all who will come and meet the conditions of the gospel and repent of their sins and trust the Lord with all their heart and be saved. To us, it's the free gift. But the price paid for it was indeed a great price. So I want to talk to you about the necessity of the new birth experience. To me, this is the most absolute of all doctrines that we find in the Scriptures. Jesus, in His conversation with Nicodemus, recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel of John, and I want to speak about some of that. But the Lord, in that conversation that he had with Nicodemus, did not merely suggest the new birth. He didn't put it out there as an option. He told Nicodemus, he said, you must be born again. And that word implies absolute necessity. Folks, listen, if you are here today and you've not experienced the new birth, I want you to know this, and I hope that you will be convinced of this. But without the new birth experience, you are not going to go to heaven when you die. Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I want you to think with me about what was happening there and what we have recorded in the third chapter of the Gospel according to John. Because the Bible says that there was a man of the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were a religious group of Jews. They were a religious sect of the Jews. And Nicodemus was one of them. And this man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night. And he made it known to the Lord that he had become convinced of something. He said, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And so Nicodemus had become convinced. I don't believe that he was really fully embracing the Lord as the Messiah there, but he was convinced that he was a rabbi, that he was a teacher that had been sent from God. Now, a lot of people in the world today, they believe and they teach people that if you just believe things about Christ, that you're saved. And that's not true. That's just not true. In order to get saved, there are things that you must believe. You know, we must certainly believe that God is to be saved. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But listen, when a person believes that God exists, that doesn't mean that they're saved by that. That doesn't mean that that faith saves them. The faith that saves goes beyond believing that God exists and believing that he's real. That's just the very beginning of it. And Nicodemus was convinced about some things concerning Jesus. You know, he believed that he was a religious teacher. He believed that he had been sent from God. But that wasn't enough for Jesus. When Nicodemus confessed that before him and told Jesus that he believed that about him, we don't see Jesus declaring him to be righteous. We don't see him justifying him because of believing that. But what we do see is that he told Nicodemus, you must be born again. He told this very well-known religious leader, this man that was dedicated to the Pharisees and to that religion, that he must be born again. I'm going to tell you something, folks, in my estimation, because, and I base this a lot upon even having read where they have published their own testimonies, but I'm going to tell you exactly what I believe. I believe there are a lot of people today in this country that the religious world in general is hailing them as the great religious leaders of our time, and you know what's wrong with them? They need to be saved. They've not even experienced the new birth, and just because a person is steeped in religion doesn't mean that they have been born again by the Spirit of God. And we have example after example after example of that very thing that we find in the Scriptures. I want to read to you, I want to ask you if you would to turn with me to the 10th chapter of the Gospel of Acts. And I want to read some Scripture concerning a man by the name of Cornelius. It says, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band. And listen to what the Bible says about Cornelius. It says that he was a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Think about what the Bible says here about Cornelius, a devout man, a pious man, one that reverenced the Lord, one that gave alms, one that prayed to God. Why, he had even seen a vision that where an angel dealt with him. And yet, when you go on and you read the 10th chapter of the Acts of the Apostles, you will find out that Cornelius was not yet saved. When these things were said about him, he was not a child of God. The Bible declares him to be a very religious person. It even goes on later on. It tells us in this chapter that God was hearing his prayers. His prayers had come up as a memorial even before God, but the man had not been saved. And there are a lot of people in the world today that are still doing what men like Nicodemus did. There are many people in the world today that are still steeped in the same thing that the Apostle Paul was steeped in before his conversion. They are trying to make it into heaven on their religion. And folks, I'm going to tell you what, they're not going to make it. They're not going to make it. I'm not going to heaven today because I'm a preacher. I'm not going to heaven today because I'm an old-time missionary Baptist. I am on my way to heaven today because of one thing, because I have been born again by the Spirit of God, and that's the only thing that will get a person into heaven, and that's all that anybody needs to make it there when this life is over. Through the new birth, and I'll tell you what, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for any type of conversion that does not assure the heart of a person that all is well with their soul. You know what I love to do? I love to be able to assemble here, and when we sing the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," I love to be able to lift up my voice and sing that song, knowing what I'm singing about and knowing that all is well with my soul. And I wouldn't give you a red cent for any type of conversion that did not assure my heart that everything was well between me and the Lord. I'll tell you what, as far as I'm concerned, any type of religion or any type of conversion where a person says that they have to try to do the best they can and wait until they stand before God in the day of judgment to see whether or not their good works have outweighed their bad works, to me, that is no good. It's no good. What are you going to do? What are they going to do when they're standing there before God and they find out that they don't have it? They can't get it then, can they, Brother Sanford? They can't get it then. The Lord said it would happen, didn't he? Matthew chapter 7, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. But listen, the new birth, this was something that was made in the wisdom and in the mind of God, And through the new birth, God made a way. He made a way of salvation where he could have people on this earth that would have the assurance in their heart that they did in fact belong to God, that they were children of God. Do you really believe that God once wanted a bunch of people running around on the earth that, you know, thought maybe they were saved? You know, we don't really know for sure. We'll find out one of these days. Absolutely not. God wants people that know that they belong to him, that they know they've been saved, being born again. Jesus, in his conversation, and lost friend, listen to this, please. Jesus, in his conversation with that ruler of the Jews, that Pharisee, that man named Nicodemus, in his conversation with him, he explained to him that the new birth was not a natural birth. It was a spiritual birth. You see, when a person gets saved, it's something that happens inwardly. It happens within that person. It happens in the very soul of that person. The Apostle Paul in the 10th chapter of Romans, he said it's with the heart that man believeth unto righteousness. And then with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. And I'll tell you what, friends, it won't help you to confess it if you don't possess it. It won't help you one bit. It'll be a false profession. And so when Jesus told him that you must be born again, Nicodemus couldn't seem to get his mind past thinking about the natural birth. And so the Lord Jesus explained it to him in very simple terms. He simply said, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. And folks, let me tell you something. When we go back to what the Apostle Peter wrote there about being born again, not of corruptible seed, we were born of corruptible seed when we were born into the flesh, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that's all that it's ever going to be. And our flesh is not fit for heaven. Our flesh is not fit to stand before God. Our flesh is not fit because it's tainted with sin, and we could not dwell in the presence of God in his beautiful heaven in this flesh that we dwell in. And so therefore it's even necessary in order for us to one day be able to be complete, both body and soul, the way that God designed us, this flesh is going to have to go through a change, isn't it? It's going to have to go through a change. It's going to have to be sown a natural body and raised a spiritual body. It's going to be sown a corruptible body and raised an incorruptible body. And I'll tell you what, I'm excited about that. I'm excited about that. The more that I learn about my flesh, the less I like it. The nature of the flesh, I'll tell you what, folks, I battle with it every single day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't battle with this corruptible nature of Adam. Every day I find myself asking God to forgive me for something. Forgive me for this thought I had or whatever that it may be. Every day I battle with this flesh. But God is going to change it one of these days. One of these days I'll lay this corruptible flesh aside in death, and God will bring me forth one day with a new body that's incorruptible. And that's something to be aspired to, isn't it? God will change even our corruptible body one day. But for now, those of us who have been born again, we've experienced an inward change, haven't we? That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I'll tell you what happens in every true conversion. Every time that a person is truly saved, and you've heard me talk about this before, and if we went around the room today, and you know what, perhaps somebody will get fired up in the Lord today and want to tell their experience. If you do, that's great. But if we went around the room here today and we all begin to tell our experience, we'd find differences. Some would speak about being saved at church. Some would speak about being saved in other places. We would find little things different in every one of our testimonies. But I'll tell you what, folks, I'm convinced of this, that everybody that has ever truly been saved in every born-again experience, there is an interaction between the Holy Spirit of God and the Spirit dwelling within that person. They interact with each other, and in everybody that has truly been saved, the Holy Spirit has spoke to that person down inside their soul and told them that they were saved. If that hasn't happened to you, you better just keep looking. I'm not telling you that you'll hear an audible voice. I don't want to confuse anybody with what I say today. I'm not telling you that you'll have an audible voice. In fact, I would have a very difficult time today even really explaining to you how that I know that. But I do know this. I do know that when the Lord saved my soul, that He made it plain to me what had happened. His Holy Spirit interacted with my spirit, and He let me know that I had been saved. I remember very well that I was crying out to God. I mean, I was calling upon the name of the Lord, and I was begging Him to save my soul. And the next thing I knew, I just knew that I knew that I had been saved. And you know what? I don't even have to try today to explain it to you, because I know this. I know that if you will seek the Lord, if you'll meet His conditions, I know that when you get saved, that God will let you know. I know that He will let you know, just like He did me. And so the Lord Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. There is a difference between the two, and it's that spirit of man that is born again. It's that spirit that's regenerated. It's that spirit that's saved. It's that inward man that the Lord, at the point of conversion, washes our sins away in the blood of the Lamb, and it's down there in the spirit of man that He bears witness with us that we have been saved. God did not speak audibly into my ear, into my natural ear, but He spoke to my heart and let me know that I was saved. That's what you need to seek for today. And I've been trying for a little over 30 years now to preach to people and to tell them not to ever settle for anything short of that. I'll tell you what, when you get it, you'll know you got it. I'm telling you, when you get it, you'll know you got it. I'm not telling you that, I'm not going to promise you that the devil won't come along and maybe confuse you. Sometimes he does. Sometimes we allow the devil to confuse us. But I'm telling you, friends, when you get saved, you'll know you got it. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Listen, when I was just a little boy, there were people that were preaching to me that when I got, if I would seek the Lord and get saved, there were people that were telling me that when I got saved, I would know that I was saved. And I didn't understand what they were saying completely until I experienced it. But when it happened to me, I knew that they were right. I did know that I had been born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. When I got saved, that wind come whipping through my soul, and I knew that I had it. I'm going to tell you something. Folks here today, there's none of us that deserve to be saved. There's none of us here today. I'm convinced that every person here today that has been born again, that has truly had that born again experience with the Lord, I'm convinced that every one of them today would stand and confess before you that they realized that they didn't deserve that. They realized they were not good enough for that. Folks, listen, I'll assure you today, if you're here and you're lost, that you don't deserve to be anything but lost. You don't deserve the salvation that the Lord has to give. You'll never be good enough. I don't care how good that you're trying to live. You'll never be good enough to earn it. It comes by God's grace. And you need to just come before Him, and you need to humble yourself before the Lord, and you need to just pour your heart out to Him as the sinner that you are, and seek after God until He comes and His Holy Spirit speaks to your spirit and lets you know that you've been saved. And you better not stop short of having that born again experience with the Lord. Because if you do, friend, you're just not going to make it in. You're just not going to make it in. You must be born again. The Bible tells me that we're all going to stand before God. Every one of us, we are His creation. And we must all appear before Him. And we must appear to give an account of the things done in the body, whether they're good or bad. We must all appear. And you know, there are people today, we've seen them in the world, you've heard me talk about them, you've heard no doubt many other preachers talk about them. There are people in the world today that have claimed, and I'll tell you what, that's all they've done is claimed. They have claimed to be able to do the work that only the Holy Spirit of God can do. There have been men that have called themselves preachers, and they have urged people to walk up before them, and they have had them repeat a prayer after them, and they've asked them a series of questions. Do you believe that Jesus, you know, was the Son of God? Do you believe that He died at Calvary? Do you believe that He rose from the dead? And they'd answer them in the affirmative, and they'd say, then you're all right. Just name it and claim it. I'll tell you what, there's not a man in the world that can look down into your soul and tell what's happening there. Nobody. Only God can do that. That's why the Bible doesn't tell us that the preacher bears witness with the Spirit that we are the children of God. It doesn't tell us that the church bears witness with that person's spirit that they are the children of God. It says the Holy Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit. And He's the only one that can do it, because He's the only one that can see your spirit. He's only one. We can't see each other's soul. You know what? There's not a doubt in my mind that I'm among a lot of people today that have truly been saved based upon your testimonies and your life. There's not a doubt in my mind that I'm among the redeemed today. But listen, I cannot see the spirit of anybody. Only God can do that. Only the Lord can do that. He told Samuel that, didn't he? He told Samuel. When Samuel was all excited, thinking that Eliab was the one that God had chosen as king, God said, don't look at his countenance. That's not what I do. Man can only look on the outward appearance, but God looks up on the heart. That's what he can see. He can see what has happened inside. I want us to have a song. I came here today with a prayer on my heart that you that are here today and are lost, that you would turn to the Lord. Listen, friends, God has been good to me in life. Has God been good to you in this life? God has blessed me in this life. I can look back over my life and I can see so many ways that the hand of God has touched and blessed my life. But I'll tell you what, being born again is the best thing that ever happened to me. Best thing that ever happened to this sinner was being born again by the Spirit of God. And you need to be born again. You must be born again if you're going to make it into heaven. You can't be redeemed with corruptible things. You've got to be redeemed with the precious blood of Christ. You cannot declare yourself to be righteous. We live in a world today where people are shouting this name it and claim it religion. Why, just name it and claim it. Folks, you can't claim yourself to be righteous. Justification is when God declares us to be righteous. The righteousness we have is an imputed righteousness. It's not our own. We have to be declared righteous by God. You can't, you can declare yourself righteous all you want to and you'll still be lost and without God. Please, come to the Lord and seek Him. Seek Him until His Spirit tells your spirit that you've been saved. Let's follow the Lord today, church. You know, we say it all the time, but there may very well be people here among us today that are not saved, that this may be the last opportunity they have. This may be it. This may be the last opportunity they'll have to turn to the Lord. I hope if you're here today and you're lost that you'll believe the great possibility of that, that this may be the last opportunity you'll have to seek the Lord for salvation. Let's stand and sing. Let's follow the Lord.
197. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow.